Christian greetings to my dear brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus here in Cottage Grove. Our thoughts are with you every day. I think I dare say that. And our prayers. And it's a blessing, been a blessing to be here this morning again to see you face to face. Yes, the Lord has blessed in many ways in our lives as we continue on the journey from earth to heaven. And this morning, you know, what are you thinking about? How did your thoughts go this morning? Appreciated Jonathan's expressions here this morning about how do we fare? How do we do? You know, do we think about that at times, or do we just go on and just forget about? I can't find the word that I want, but anyhow, the things that Jesus speaks to us as we woke up this morning, and how we feel about getting ready to go to church. Are we eager? And do we really love to come to church? Or do we, I know Norman's sick this morning. I don't know whether you know that he's not here. He's not here. But anyhow, he texted me and said he's got a real bad headache. He's got a head cold, and he just can't fix it to come to church. He's probably listening to me say this, but anyhow, that's wonderful that he wants to stay with his wife too, you know. And that's quite something that Brother James mentioned, that Ruth, which is a sister-in-law to Dorothy, and sometimes we have the why, but God is still God. And his ways are perfect. And what we need to do is trust in him. You know, the word of God is our buckler. And if we trust in him, he is a buckler. It is a buckler to all those that trust in him. So let's just favor them with our prayers that they can just be at peace, in fact, in spite of the things that happen. So this morning we're here in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he said in his own words, he says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be with them. I will be in the midst of them. And then he says also in another verse, he says in Hebrews, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he is always with us. Yeah, that is a real comfort to me. And I suppose it is to you as well. And so here we are in the church. We're here to hear from the Word of God. And I don't feel worthy of all this that God has done for us. But still, I want to realize that when we go to church, the church, you know, Jesus is not here, excuse me, in person. He's here, but he's not in person. And so the church has to share the good news of the gospel. The church has to preach the good news and share it. And so through your prayers, us preachers can do that. It's only because of him. And the church preaches good news. So when we think of going to church, yes, you may have heard this preaching before, but it's so good to be reminded of what God has us to do, and the power of our great God. And the Apostle Paul says that, that's in Romans 1:16, he says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation through all those that believe. And I trust that all of you are believers. I don't have any other idea but what you are believers. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein, listen to this, for therein is the gospel of, let me go over here. For the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. So if we read the gospel, if we believe the gospel, and if we continue to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that's what he wants us to do. And the righteousness of God, we have no righteousness of our own, but it is revealed by God. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And when we live by faith, I believe we think of God, we think of coming to church, we think of God every time because he's here. Wherever we are, he's with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so I've used the term several times already, good news. If you want a title for that, that's what it is, good news. And for us that are really moving on in age and in growth in our Christian life, it is interesting. And we are looking forward more and more to go home to be with Jesus, to be in the presence of the one who has redeemed us through his own precious blood, the one who has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So if we try any other way, Jesus said, we're a thief and a murderer. There's no other way. Even though a lot of people are interested in finding other ways, no, there is no other way, even though they choose to seek other ways. We realize that there is a lot of negativity in the world. It is daily news cycles, and you know, and I got this from someone else. It's not my writings, but the daily news cycle feeds on scandals, crimes, and suffering dredged up from across the world. I know years ago I heard this term, dog eat dog. And I wondered, what in the world? What's he talking about? But anyhow, that's that one thing that our business world is in. And it wears a person down. Bills pile up and health declines. You know, it's just too many people are living with a negative Nancy. Like I said, I didn't get this stuff together, but anyhow, negative Nancy or knows a Debbie Downer, and a few people live with a glass half happy at Gary. It's half empty instead of what is the other? Anyhow, you know what I'm talking about. And so is it any wonder that people are looking for a positive message when they come to church? And the preachers preach the love of God. And you know what? The church is the right place to look when you're having problems and when you're down. And you know, we're as preachers, we are to preach the good news. And at the core of the New Testament church that proclaims good news, we do proclaim good news, and the message brings hope and help and strength if we really listen, if we really let it soak into our hearts, and then we get up after the benediction, we get up and we share the good news with each other and encourage each other. And not just looking out and sharing each other when ball games or something like that. You know, don't let that get into your blood, because that's one of the things that are so highly looked at in the world. And so the church proclaims the news, and it brings hope and joy. And the gospel is, by definition, good news. It is. God instructed his ministers to exhort his people in 2 Timothy 4:2, which literally means to call one's side for a word, call one aside for the word of encouragement. We need encouragement. We need to be encouragers as we go from day to day, as we interact. There's more to life than just talking about the material things. I'm getting mixed up here. But anyhow, please forgive me and pray for me. Seems like my mind and memory is failing a little bit. But anyhow, so it is. So we look into God. We need to encourage people. God wants people to possess hope, peace, and acceptance, and courage. While the negative is useful, it is rarely helpful to leave that as the last word. To quote William Clark, upon finally seeing the Pacific Ocean, he says, "Oh, joy of serving God. Oh, the joy of serving God," when he saw the ocean. Do we think of God when we're surprised at some things and we see something new or something that really blesses us? Do we thank God? Do we return that of the God who chose us? To tired people, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." If you're burdened down and life's hardships, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He says, "For I am lowly in heart." Excuse me. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Lord Jesus lightens our burdens when we look unto him, when we trust in him. And so to those who are troubled, there's a lot of people, troubled people in the world, in our world today. The good news is that to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In 2 Thessalonians, this is a quote from Paul, the apostle, in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. And those feeling lost are shown the way when we preach the word of God. We are shown the way. And I remember well when I was a young boy, how that sometimes especially our deacon, he was kind of a favorite to me. And he had a way of sharing things that little boys could understand. And so the Apostle Paul had the same gift, I think. And, he could express things. And if we believe them, we believe that, what is preached. And those feeling lost are shown the way to the way, which is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, in John 14:6. And those that feel guilty, you know, do you ever feel guilty at times? I do. Sometimes I misbehave, and then I feel guilty. And sometimes I have to even confess to my wife, I kind of talked when I shouldn't have. So if you feel guilty, you are shown the way. If you feel guilty, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you listen to the Holy Spirit? Do you listen to the good news that is brought to us? That's in Romans 8:1 and John 5:24 as well. Those who fear death are assured, the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, we are victors over that when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. For he says that it is through the Lord Jesus Christ, which giveth us the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:52-57. To those who fear that God has abandoned them. Sometimes you feel like, and I've heard Brother Norman say that, you know, God, where are you? God, where are you? So to those that feel that way, they need to find faith. Fear. God does not abandon them. And the message to them is, I have been young, the King David said these words in Psalms 37:25-28. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful. Merciful. God is so merciful. And Jesus said that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And James says that if we aren't merciful, we shall not have mercy too, you know. That's in my own words. But then he goes on to say, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. Psalms 37:25-28. They are preserved forever. God will not let us down. When we come to God and he receives us as his children, he will want to preserve us forever, bring us into glory with those those immortal bodies. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And if we do leave him, he wants us to come back. Return, O Israel, was Isaiah and Jeremiah, the prophets. That was their desire, their longing. And God told them to tell the people, return unto me. So that is still his cry today for those that wander away. And those who feel that God is angry with them, there is a comforting word. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Comforting words. And to those who feel God is inaccessible, we say, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Yes, in Romans 5:2, you know, the gospel. Yes, the gospel is good news. But sometimes we don't realize the blessedness of the good news, and we get carried away. So the Apostle Paul's prayer in 1 Ephesians. No, let's see. Let me get that straight now. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. He has a prayer. And I'm going to start reading there in Ephesians chapter 1. Just kind of break in here. In verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavens, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things unto the church. The head of all things. He is the head over all things. He says, the church, over all things the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What a prayer for us. A prayer that Paul says, and the prayer that we can share. And you know, Paul had a real love. In Ephesians, you know, in other writing of his writings, he brings forth personal things that were wrong and that the churches did. But in Ephesians, it seems like he is more concerned about what they are and what they do. And so he didn't pray that they might be freed from the persecution that they endured, nor that they might possess the riches and honors or pleasures of the world. But the great thing he prays for is the illumination of their understandings, and that their knowledge might increase and abound. And so do we have that desire as well in our Christian walk of life, that we would just be brought closer to God and farther away from the world and its doings. And that he goes on to say about their knowledge that it might increase and abound. He means it of a practical and experimental knowledge, the graces and comforts of the Spirit that communicated to the soul by the enlightening of the understanding in this way. He gains and keeps possession. He's encouraging in a way that people can receive. And so it should be with us. But you know that Satan, our adversary, he is just the opposite. He takes the contrary way. And he gets possession by the senses and passions. But Christ gives understanding and desires and lusts and so forth is Satan's, that's his way of doing. But we, as the power that he mentioned here, excuse me. The power which he wrought in Christ, in verse 20, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavens. That power. And then we have the word of God. And if in Hebrews, the writer says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through the dividing of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of whom we have to do. Seeing then, you know, we have our own ideas and so forth, but we, if we study the Word of God, it is so powerful, and it helps us. It helps our thoughts and our ideas. I mean, it's the power that is dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let our lives measure up to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Good news, people. Good news. And so may God really get into our lives. And I would just love to spend a little more time, but I know time is going on. But I'm going to read part of chapter 2, the good news. And you hath he quickened. And you and I, God is so good. God is so faithful. God is so wonderful, so high and so holy. And yet he lives in our hearts if we open our hearts to him. He that quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Dear friends, I don't know whether you can experience, you can remember when you first give your heart to God, but I remember the day. I remember the time. And so may God help us that we can realize how faithful he is and how good he is to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we can fear God and keep his commandments, walk with him in the very steps that Jesus walked, in the steps. And he was the Son of God. And of course, he loves us more than we can even imagine. So, but God, in verse 4 here, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were dead in trespasses and he has quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are, let that verse soak into you, your hearts, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So may we truly walk in those steps. Wherefore, remember, ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by the hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh unto the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in him one new man, and so making peace. Peace, the peace that passeth all understanding, to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So with everything he has done for us, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For your life is hid with Christ in God. If Christ is your life, and we are hid with Christ in God, yes, we want to continue on. We want to share the good news and not be ashamed when we meet someone and we strike up a conversation, and let us share the love that God has for us. And a lot of people do not know about the Lord Jesus and how that he gave his life and shed his blood, that we can be cleansed from sin. And many people, we get the devotionals from the billboard messages, and there's so many people that really don't know what it is to listen to the gospel. And let us pray for those that, for those of us that get those calls, let us pray for those people and not just think, well, there's this some old outsider, but let us be true servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is here to close, and so we just I want to say that what I said was to me first, and then to those that have ears to hear. Let us realize and let us read the scriptures and read them over and over and be able to quote them by heart, if possible. And let's be true and faithful above all to our Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us, gave us hope, and that hope maketh not ashamed. That hope is true. It's not just something that we hope about, but it's our redemption, and it will take us on to heaven. And we want to meet all of each other there. So let's keep us in the love of God and let him have his way in our hearts and trust in him alone. Let's kneel.